Alrighty, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nathan Nordstedt. I'm with Ohio State University, and today I'll be discussing the identification of rhizobacteria with the ability to increase floriculture crop quality. In the floriculture industry, the appearance or aesthetics of our crops is the primary driver to crop value. However, ornamental crops in particular typically require high chemical and nutrient inputs in order to maintain this aesthetic value that is so important to us. In addition to that, with the amount of species and cultivars that we produce, it is likely that many crops are excessively fertilized without any benefits to crop quality, and it is estimated that approximately 20% of floriculture products become unmarketable post-harvest due to abiotic stress. Fortunately, in recent years, a new tool that has been developed for horticulture production is the use of plant growth promoting rhizobacteria, or PGPR, because of their ability to increase nutrient use efficiency and tolerance to abiotic stress in plants. So how can PGPR actually help? By definition, they are bacteria that colonize plant roots and have the ability to enhance growth and/or tolerance to abiotic stress. A few particular modes of action for the horticulture industry are the bacteria's ability to fix nitrogen, solubilize phosphate, assist with iron acquisition, produce plant hormones, and the reduction of stress ethylene during times of abiotic stress. For this project, there are two main objectives leading to one overall goal. The first objective is to develop in-lab screens in order to select for bacteria from larger collections that have the potential to promote growth and reduce post-harvest stress of floriculture crops. The second objective is to optimize a high-throughput greenhouse trial in order to evaluate the bacteria that were selected from the in-lab screens in a greenhouse environment. These two objectives then lead to our overall goal to select elite plant growth-promoting bacteria for validation in future greenhouse experiments. For this project, I utilized a core Pseudomonas collection at Ohio State University, consisting of 62 unique strains within 9 different species. These strains do originate from various plant, soil, and water sources, and the genomes have been sequenced and annotated, and this genetic information is available for follow-up studies. For this experiment, I began with the 62 strains within the OSU collection. All of these strains went through 2 in-lab bioassays, both the selection for osmoadaptability, or ability to withstand osmotic stress, and the selection for the enzyme activity of ACC deaminase. Strains that were selected from these in-lab bioassays then went through a drought greenhouse trial followed by a low-nutrient greenhouse trial. The first in-lab bioassay that was optimized for these bacteria was the selection for osmoadaptability, utilizing the compound polyethylene glycol, or commonly known as PEG. Because of PEG's ability to bind water molecules within a liquid growing media and therefore inducing osmotic stress on these bacteria that are in the liquid media. Although the osmoadaptive properties of bacteria are not a direct mode of action for conferring drought tolerance to plants, it is well documented that bacteria with these osmoadaptive properties are more likely to confer drought tolerance to plants than those without. For this bioassay, I began by inoculating a liquid culture with the bacteria of interest, in this case the 62 strains from the core collection. These actively growing cultures were then used to inoculate the PEG media. For these media, I utilized both a nutrient-rich and a nutrient-limiting media, both containing 30% of PEG to induce the osmotic stress. These cultures were then incubated for 4 days. And then after 4 days, a spectrophotometer plate reader was used to measure the optical density, or OD, of the bacteria cultures, which allowed us to quantify how much each individual culture grew under this osmotic stress in liquid media. For this bioassay, 14 strains were selected for their ability to grow over our predetermined threshold in the osmotic stress media. As indicated here with the red bars, and the 3 gray bars that you see are just 3 in-lab strains that we use for internal controls. The next in-lab bioassay that was developed was the selection for ACC deaminase production. Although ethylene is required for many plant developmental processes, when produced over a certain threshold, it becomes what we call stress ethylene, which can lead to chlorosis and and necrosis of plant tissue, and reduction of flowering, therefore lowering the value of our crops. Fortunately, this stress can be alleviated by bacteria that produce the enzyme ACC deaminase. This works by bacteria acting as a sink for the precursor to ethylene ACC. Bacteria pull ACC from the plant root, and then the enzyme of interest ACC deaminase degrades ACC into ammonia and alpha-ketobutyrate. By reducing the amount of the precursor to ethylene, we can then reduce the amount of ethylene that's produced in the plant roots during stress responses. For this bioassay, I began by inoculating a DF minimal media that contained ACC as the sole nitrogen source with a bacteria of interest. These cultures were then incubated for 24 hours, and after this 24 hours, the bacterial cells went through a series of enzymatic reactions, with the last one being this colorimetric reaction that you see here on the right. That dark color is just the detection of alpha-ketobutyrate, which was one of those byproducts of ACC degradation. For this bioassay, 6 strains were selected for their ACC deaminase activity, as shown here with the red bars. As a summary from the in-lab work, 14 strains were selected from the PEG bioassay, with 6 strains being selected from the ACC deaminase activity assay, and a total of 19 different strains being selected, with the strain 29G9 showing up in both in-lab bioassays. The next step was to evaluate these strains from the in-lab screens and greenhouse trials. Both a drought and a low nutrient trial was conducted using Petunia picobello blue. These plants were grown in a sand turfist media and placed in a randomized complete block design. Starting with the drought greenhouse trial, the petunia seeds were sown in a 288 plug tray and then grown for 4 weeks. After the seedling stage, they were transplanted to 2.5-inch pots containing the sand turfist media. Plants were treated with 40 milliliters of the bacterial inoculum at transplant and then weekly thereafter. 3 weeks after transplant, drought was induced on the system by removing all water and bacterial treatments from the plants until the entire population of plants had wilted. At this point, water and bacterial treatments were reintroduced back into the system, and plants continued to be treated with the 40 milliliters of inoculum weekly until the entire population had its first flower. At this point, shoot and flower biomass and flower number was recorded as an indicator of crop quality. For the PEG-selected treatments that were tested in the drought trial, 11 strains were identified for performing above the control, as indicated here with the red bars, with the white bar serving as the uninoculated control. However, for the sake of this study and for identifying the top elite strains of bacteria that we're interested in moving forward with, I only wanted to select for strains that performed above the control in both flower number, which you see on the left, and total dry biomass, as you see on the right. So, of the 11 strains that were identified, 6 strains were selected for further evaluation for performing above the control between both parameters. In addition, the ACC deaminase selected treatments, there were 4 strains that performed above the control, as shown here with the red bars, and of these 4, 2 strains were selected for further evaluation for performing above the control between both parameters. The next greenhouse trial was a low-nutrient greenhouse trial that was conducted primarily the same as the drought trial, except the plants were grown with 1/6 the rate of a regular fertilizer, 25 parts per million nitrogen in this case, and drought was not introduced into the system at any point. So the seedlings were treated at transplant with the 40 milliliters of inoculum, and then weekly thereafter until the entire population had its first flower. Shoot and flower biomass and flower number was recorded again. For the low-nutrient greenhouse trial of the PEG-selected treatments, 11 strains were identified for performing above the control, as shown here with the red bars. And of those 11, 8 strains were selected for further evaluation for performing above the control between both parameters. And finally, of the ACC deaminase-selected treatments that went through the low-nutrient trial, 6 strains performed above the control, and of those 6, 2 strains were selected for further evaluation. As a summary, this study began with 62 strains from the core collection of pseudomonads. Of these 62, 19 were selected from the 2 in-lab bioassays, and of those that were selected and trialed in the greenhouse, 9 were selected from the drought trial, and 8 were selected from the nutrient trial. But very excitingly, 3 elite strains were selected and identified for their ability to perform above the control in both flower number and total dry biomass in both the drought and low nutrient study. So in conclusion, the PEG and ACC deaminase activity assays did prove to be an effective approach in order to identify plant growth promoting bacteria from larger collections. In addition, the high throughput greenhouse trial provided an efficient method in order to evaluate these bacteria for their ability to promote floriculture crop quality in a greenhouse production setting. This study has identified elite bacteria strains with the ability to promote growth and reduce post-harvest abiotic stress. And finally, the strains that were identified can be used for further work in order to validate the effectiveness of these bacteria under different environmental and cultural conditions, primarily the growing media and different cultivars and species. With that, I would like to thank the members of the Jones Lab, as well as funding from the D.C. Kiplinger Endowment Fund, Ohio State University, generous funding from the American Floral Endowment, and Dr. Christopher Taylor for allowing us to use the core Pseudomonas collection. With that, thank you very much, and I welcome any questions. Yes?
So for the graphs that you showed that showed the difference between the control and the bacteria that you were searching through, were they statistically significant, or did you not run statistics on them?
Yes. So the question was if there was any statistical significance between our treatments. We were pulling some significant difference from those. However, for this, with it being a preliminary trial, we're looking more for trends and really looking also at biological significance as opposed to just what statistical significance would tell us. Yes. Yeah, so those are the averages across the mean. The means. Yeah. Yes.
Did you mention what the concentration of PEG was?
Yes, that was 30%. Yeah. All right. Thank you.